Well, we welcome you once again. It's a little bit of a small crowd this morning, but that's okay because we're going to make a joyful noise to the Lord. To start our service this morning, let's bow our heads and say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we have many, many things to give you thanks for. We have had people here who have undergone surgical procedures, and they have come through them with great results. So we pray today for those that we know are having some activities, some surgeries this coming week. Natalie and our own Betty, we want to be sure that you watch over them and make theirs a successful surgery also. We are in a world that is in such turmoil, and I don't know if it's been this way all the time, but we need you. We need your intervention, or at least your guidance, to tell us what to do and how to help with all of the tensions that are going on in this old world right now. We pray for our military as they protect us from places far away and here at home. And we pray this morning for our policemen who do a good job of protecting us here also. This morning we pray that the choir will bring you a song and message that you will take with you, as well as Bruce as he brings us his message this morning. And we welcome Tom back, and we pray for him as he brings us his musical talent this morning. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. We really don't have to pray for Tom. We know he's going to bring something wonderful every morning. Our sermon this month, or for the summer months here, is going to be on heaven. So I found this story that I thought might go along a little bit with that sermon. A 65-year-old woman had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. While she was on the operating table, she had a near-death experience, and she saw God and asked him, "Is my time up?" God said, no, you have another 33 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live. So upon recovery, the woman decided to stay in the hospital and have a facelift and some liposuction, breast implants, and a tummy tuck. She even had someone come in and change her hair color and brighten her teeth. Since she had so much more time to live, she figured she might as well make the most of it. So after the last operation, she was released from the hospital, And while crossing the street on her way home, she was killed by an ambulance. Arriving at the pearly gates, she confronted God and said, "I thought you said I had another 33 years. Why didn't you pull me out of the path of that ambulance?" And God replied, "I didn't recognize you." Let's stand now as we sing our first hymn together.
These two scriptures that I thought were very appropriate to what's going on in our world today. And the first one is from Psalm 34:18. It says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." We have a lot of crushed spirits in our society today. The other one is Psalm 94:17-19. It says, "Unless the Lord has given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul." Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, we pray that for all of those lives who have been touched by tragedy in Texas and Florida by deliberate act, for those families who mourn, immerse them in your love and lead them through this darkness into your arms and light. For those who need comfort on our prayer request and those who pray in silence for your help, be in both the words they use and all that's left unspoken, fill each heart with love. We ask that you be with Pastor Bruce, that the words of today are the words you put upon his heart. We ask that today's meeting will honor you in all we do in your name. We ask this through Jesus Christ, whose own suffering brought us life here and for eternity. Amen.
Okay, we did so well on that first hymn. Let's stand and sing another one.
John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And as an aside, in the Greek, mone, a dwelling, a place, an abode. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. And as another aside, topos, a place marked off from another place. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
It's now time in our service for us to give back with our tithes and our offerings. So if you'd like to stand, we'll sing the doxology together.
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to support your church here on earth, and we offer you our tithes and gifts. Thank you. Thank you, choir, as you get back to your seats. Thank you. Now we have a full congregation. That's nice. Thank you, Tom, for filling in today. Just seems like yesterday you were here. Oh, it was. Perhaps you remember a few years ago there was a new church that was established in the United States and had over 2 million followers. This church was the Church of Oprah. I know that she does a lot of very good things for people and appears to be a kind and gracious person, but her idea about theology and the Lord and heaven are far from the Christian way. And you know, this is an ongoing sermon series on heaven. And if you happen to miss a week, you can always go online and listen to it, because Josh gets it up there every Sunday evening. Right, Josh? Yes, thank you. Well, for example, Oprah believed, "My mind is part of God's. I am holy, and holiness comes from within me. Jesus is just an image. He is every man and every woman." Well, there are many people have ideas about heaven and salvation, and because they think that it's the correct understanding. But for us, in our congregation, our only resource, our only valid resource, is the Bible, and anything else is pure human conjecture. So let's move further on our in-depth study of our final home, and this morning is heaven. Is it a physical place? Physical and the word mean actually there. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, are the words to Jesus' disciples just before he was going to go to the cross to die for their sins, to be buried for 3 days, to rise again, and then 40 days later to be ascend into heaven. And here's all the words that he spoke to them. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, a dwelling, a place." That's what Tom read. "If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, a real place. He's going to go and prepare a place for you." Jesus said, "But I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through me." Then in John's writing in the revelation of Jesus Christ, he gives a very good rendition of heaven in chapter 21, along with chapter 22. He says, "Now I see a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away." That's where we are now. "Also, there's no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. And I heard a loud voice, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain.'" And he says, "Behold, I make all things new." Now, the new heaven and the new earth are not the final home in heaven. This is when Jesus comes back to earth and establishes the new Jerusalem and the new earth. So back to our subject. Is heaven a physical place? Well, many people have an unbiblical idea of heaven, kind of an Oprahology. Perhaps you are thinking of heaven like an escalator going up into the clouds with a man with long beard, long white beard and hair at the top of the escalator, St. Peter or God there. Well, that comes from Eastern religion, Buddhism and Hinduism, that the body has to be freed from its physical condition. Plato, the Greek philosopher, really made it difficult for St. Paul, because the Greeks in those days believed that our bodies are encased, that we need to get out of it. Well, that's not what Scripture teaches. And I've been reading Alcorn's book for another time, and I wondered a lot about this subject. Sorry, I had a little technical difficulty there. It's not always possible to turn to a couple of verses and find out what's going on. In seminary, I majored in systematic theology. It sounds like a big word, but it really isn't. What it is to take a Bible truth and to take the scripture of the Bible in context to see what it really means. For example, when I was about 12 years old, I had scarlet fever. Now, I don't hear much about that anymore. Anybody has a grandchild who had scarlet fever? Nobody. Oh, one. Okay, one person. So it's not very common. So I was confined and quarantined in my room for, it seemed like years, but it was just a couple of weeks. So my mother brought me a puzzle, 500 pieces. The Daniels know all about those puzzles. They have them. They do them every year with their grandchild. So I worked and worked and worked on this puzzle for hours and hours, trying to put the sides together and the colors together. And finally, it came together. It came together in a picture. And the picture of heaven comes from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis all the way to the last book of the Bible in Revelation. In order to see what this really, heaven is really like, we need to take a full context of what's going on. So there are five pieces of evidence that we're going to look at. Well, as I said, if you can't remember everything that goes on in sermons, which I don't remember many sermons in my life, not even mine, you can go online and listen in our website. And if you have any trouble getting onto the website or listening to the sermon if you'd like to, or see pictures of the congregation, let me know and I'll come over and give you a hand with that. Well, the first rule of heaven, describing it, is location, 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 just like our good realtors have. And in Genesis verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the word for heaven in the Greek, in the Hebrew, is plural. He created the heavens. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. Now there's an atmospheric heaven with the clouds and the air that we know that we breathe. The creatures of the sky fly in that heaven. And then there's the galactic heaven, which is the universe. And the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. We know that God can be and is everywhere, but there is a certain place in heaven where his special government rules and resides. Paul referred to in 2 Corinthians verse 12, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I don't know, God knows, such a man was caught up into the third heaven. Now we often think of heaven as being up. And the up part of that word, whenever Jesus raised his head up to heaven, that means beyond our knowledge, beyond our understanding. For example, when he was feeding the 5,000, the Bible says, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave his loaves to his disciples, and he fed the multitude. But he looked up to heaven to have God create that miracle. In John 3, the Lord says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven is the Son of God. So this is a figure of speech that says, heaven is not here, but it is up beyond us that we don't know, outside of the natural creation of God. We can't enter it yet. We're not there yet. We're still here on this earth in our mortal bodies. God is there. The throne of God is there. The risen Christ is there. The angelic hosts are there. It's a real place. And secondly, as evidence that it is a physical place, Jesus rose from the grave after the third day, after his crucifixion, and he lives in a physical resurrection of the body. And he was a real man, because Jesus said to Thomas, he said, look at my hands. Look at the scars. Look at my side. Put your hand in my side where I was pierced. The body is sown in corruption. God has not only created us as spiritual beings, but as physical beings. It will be a physical place that we go to. The third piece of evidence is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ascension into heaven. After 40 days after he was risen from the dead, he ascended to heaven. And he said to the disciples through the angel that came, he said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who will take you in heaven will so come in a manner that you saw. So Jesus went away and is going to come back physically in a way that's different than we can ever understand. We use the same word that Christ used about heaven. It's allegory. It's a metaphor. It's a location, a resurrection, ascension, and description. We turn to Revelation 21 and 22, and in there it talks about heaven in very concrete terms. We look at it, and it says, the length of heaven is 1,400 miles. It's 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles high, and 1,400 miles deep. Now, this is just the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And if you looked at that and calculated, which I did with my computer, I said, okay, how many people could live in a place 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles deep, and 1,400 miles wide? Well, a mansion has a lot of square feet. So I said, okay, let's make a mansion 100,000 square feet. So if we took 100,000 square feet by 100 feet high, it's a good-sized mansion. All the people who have ever lived on Earth could fit in there, 100 billion people, plenty of room for everyone. Parts of the city are described like the streets paved with gold and all the jewels and the varied colors. God's plan is to have a new heaven and a new earth, a renewed creation, a new universe, a new place for us, because this place where we are is corrupted. The newness has always been God's promise. Then we come to the New Testament. He says, nevertheless, according to his promise, God's promise, I look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Now John goes into the revelation of a new kind of unification between God and on earth and God in heaven. We look back in the Garden of Eden. Remember that. That was a perfect place. And this is what we're going to be getting back to. Remember, Adam and Eve, before they sinned, walked with God in the cool of the evening. How neat is that, to walk with God in the cool of the evening? And it was perfect at that time. Genesis tells us that the whole universe was developed and created for God's glory. Man and woman disobeyed God and caused this to be the world that we have today. Randy Alcorn, in his book, said, we won't go to heaven and leave earth behind. Rather, God will bring heaven and earth together in the same dimension with no wall of separation like the Garden of Eden. So think of these words that we come up in the biblical vocabulary. Reconcile, redeem, restore, return, renew, regenerate, resurrection. Re means going back to where it was originally. God wants us to go back to the Garden of Eden, where it was originally. Are you homesick for the Garden of Eden? That would be great. That's the first book of the Bible. We desire something tangible, something physical that will not fade away. God promises us that this home that we're going to will never be destroyed. The kingdom will not fail. The earth will have the city will have unshakable foundations. He could have made a new race of men, but he didn't do that. Well, let me sum up everything. We looked at location. We looked at the resurrection, the ascension, the description, and our redemption as part of the physical part of heaven. Does it matter? Sure it does. God used the descriptions of the Word of God to tell us what heaven is like, so we have an idea of what it's all about. It's a wonderful jigsaw puzzle like I had when I was a sick kid. Put together that puzzle, and then you see all of a sudden the picture out of these many, many pieces. Just look at our bodies. They're not attended the way God meant them to be, but our humanity has caused us to have problems and disease. We have a lot of it in our congregation, and especially with my wife, Betty, for me. Alcorn mentions in his book, Heaven, some of the best portrayals I've seen of eternal heaven are in children's books. Children's books show heaven with kids playing with animals, having a good time. And heaven is a physical place. Are you on the way? There's a story about a couple. They were married 60 years. There are some of us here that were married 60 years. This couple died and went to heaven. And God said, well, welcome to heaven. And he said, here's your mansion. And the husband said, wow, this is a fantastic place, 100,000 square feet. And then St. Peter said, well, here's the restaurant. You can have the greatest foods in the world. No cost. And the man said, no cost? Wow. Then he said, look at this clubhouse and golf course. Every time you play this golf course, it changes to one of the greatest golf courses in the world, and you always shoot par. And the man said, wow, that's fantastic. And then he said, I mean, this doesn't cost us anything. And St. Peter said, not a dime. And he went into a rage, stomping and shouting and saying, oh, my goodness. Why did you keep on feeding me good organic food and bran muffins? I could have been here 10 years ago. Heaven is a physical place. We hope to see you all in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth, where everything will be so wonderful for us all. And let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed not only your people for yourself with the blood of Jesus, you have redeemed this whole universe for your glory. What a thrill it is to think in anticipation of a new heaven and a new earth. May we take it, believe it, and rest on it, and live in the glory of God. And your Son, Jesus Christ, who has made it possible, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us now confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He preached to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
As we prepare for communion this morning, we are going to remain seated as we sing the communion hymn. This morning it's According to Thy Gracious Word.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, met with his disciples in the upper room for the Passover dinner. And he took the bread and he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you." In the same manner also he took the cup after they finished eating. And he said, "This is my blood which is given for you and shed for you for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." And now Daryl McKean will sing the Lord's Prayer.
We've had a lot of successful surgeries lately. Marilyn Baines, Lynn, I think Ellen. But we have one coming up this next Tuesday. I think it would be really great if we would all come up and gather around Betty. Deliver us from evil.
I know that a couple of our hymns this morning have not been very familiar to you, so I think you'll be very happy that the last one is one you're going to know quite well. It's called I'll Fly Away. Let's stand up and sing it together.
Let's not forget the congregational meeting. We need at least 20 or 25 people here. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't forget to sign in at the back of the room. Thank you.